T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Millions of American sports fans are transfixed by the Last Dance documentary series. Even here in Pittsburgh, without an NBA team, fans grew up with the Jordan Bulls in the 90s, and even a new generation of fans exposed to the greatness of Michael Jordan thanks to this ESPN special. If you watched last night, and if you didn't, just the Cliff Notes version, much of it spent on the Jordan brand, turning Michael Jordan into the greatest pitchman in sports history, the sneaker, the Nike relationship. And it's hard to tell that story without our next guest. And that's why it was so weird to me to watch that last night and not see the man affectionately known as the Soul Man from Trafford, Sonny Vaccaro, joining us, the brainchild behind the Dapper Dan Classic for so many years here in Pittsburgh, and the Nike executive credited with bringing Michael Jordan to Nike. And he joins us right now to talk a little bit more about Michael Jordan and the Nike brand. Sonny, what happened? Why weren't you in this documentary? They're talking about how Jordan got to Nike, and I've always looked at you as somebody that was very instrumental in making that happen. So why didn't this documentary talk to you about Jordan going to Nike, Sonny?
You know, it's an interesting conundrum that Nike's got themselves into, and I haven't watched it, and I won't watch it till all 10 are showed. I was interviewed for 2.5 hours right outside my home in Palm Springs, so I know that they got footage after the fact. The only thing I can tell you now, and we're going to let it play out, and then someday maybe we'll do it again, is there's revisionist history, and that happens a lot. A lot of people recite, burning books and all these sort of things of getting rid of the evidence of what happened. Right now, let it play out. There's a couple more to go. But there's no doubt, and wherever you want to take me today, we got a few minutes to talk to everyone in Pittsburgh, obviously. But the truth shall be known. So let's see what it is. I'm not going to, make a comment, but I figure there's going to be a comment. But just so the people in Pittsburgh, they did come to where we live in Palm Springs 2.5 hours. I talked in a very kind way. There's no animus in my voice other than what's happened is not the history of what happened.
Well, Sonny, my question then is, what is your side of what happened to bring Michael Jordan, who I think said he was an Adidas wearer, a Converse wearer, over to Nike? How did it go down?
Well, we haven't got a lifetime, and it went down because Sonny Vaccaro told 3-4 honchos at Nike in 1984. Phil Knight wasn't involved. Ralph Strasser, myself, I believe Howard White, who worked with Mike, worked for me with Mike, with Michael, and I believe he was interviewed yesterday, which is an ironic thing. And Phil didn't come, but it was Nike's venture in 84 to get involved, because everyone in Pittsburgh will know that I really started the whole college program, and that's why I'm half hero, half, not a hero to the people in the NCAA today. But staying on Jordan, it was my vote alone, that everybody ended up doing when I said give the kid all the money. They had $500,000. Everyone in that audience, everyone at that meeting that day wanted to get 2 or 3 guys to split the money. There was never an idea, whatever happened after we did it, that it would happen. I didn't have an idea what I was doing other than they had money. And I said, what the hell are you doing? You're going to give it to 3 guys? You don't got enough money to publicize anybody. Give it to this kid. Just for the information in Pittsburgh, I never knew Michael. He didn't play in the Dapper Dan. He didn't go to one of the camps I had just begun to start. He didn't play in any of my tournaments. He was a North Carolina, you know, Converse school. Dean Smith was Converse school. I did not know Michael until I met him at Tony Romo's. So all I did was say, give it to them. Phil Knight listened to Rob Strasser and Howard Slusher. That name is big because he was an agent representing football players who kept him out a lot and basketball players. He had a big word to say with Nike. He did in 84, and he still does today in 2020. Phil Knight and the rest of the clan listened to me. We eventually signed Jordan. There was no one else involved. No one voted for Michael. So we can't go into that today. But I do know that along the way, I didn't fit into the ultimate game plan of what they wanted to say. So being some of the most powerful people in the world, they chose a different route other than the truth. So I'm telling the people in Pittsburgh, that's how it happened. Mm-hmm. It's been documented by everybody in the world, if they liked me, if they didn't like me. No one else was in a room the day Rob Strasser, David Falk, and Sonny Vaccaro at the La Hermitage Hotel in Beverly Hills, California, did the final deal and the final numbers, putting the numbers together with the bonuses and without the bonuses. Sonny Vaccaro, Rob Strasser, and David Falk.
And we're joined by Sonny Vaccaro, who was not included in that big documentary hour last night on the Jordan brand and him going to Nike, and that's why he's joining us right now, Trafford Zone here on 93.7 The Fan. Sonny, so many, you said the history's out there. This isn't the first time that something's been done on Michael Jordan's life. So many books, so many specials in the past, and you were always viewed, I think, as one of Jordan's friends. You were in the inner circle for so long. It's documented. So what changed? I mean, why in 2020 is Sonny Vaccaro not viewed as somebody who's close to Michael Jordan?
Because when they fired me in 1992, and Michael was one of the first one, him at that time he's married to his wife, and, you know, he's two marriages, you know, and they called me and anything they can do. Well, just for this reason, they also try to imply that I, along with Howard White, the other guy in that thing, who basically worked for me to be Michael's chaperone, because Pam and I, we traveled the world. I stayed at Michael's home. I did a NBC special, a salute to Michael Jordan. Saturday Night Live, I was the only person with him. It's you can't say how they wanted to separate us at birth, except in Phil Knight's book called Shoe Dog, I have one paragraph. So you sort of get an idea what's happening. And Michael Jordan, George Raveling, who was my best man at my wedding, and I'll say it here, he's nothing to do with my life anymore for a lot of reasons, and one of them being probably what we're talking about here, but I'm not going into that now. I'm just going to explain to you, the audience out there listening, there was never – Pam and I traveled Europe in an airport, private plane, during the Gulf War. I was there when he put the shovel in the dirt to create the Olympic Stadium in Spain, the Dream Team. We went from Paris to, from Germany to Paris to Spain to back to Paris, 11 days. We played gym for 10 hours on a direct flight from Paris to Chicago. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what to tell you other than I can just tell you the truth, and I'm not afraid of it.
Speaking of playing gin on an airplane, what is your opinion of why Michael Jordan was suspended or was out of basketball for the time that he was? What did gambling, if any, role? What role did gambling, if any, play in him being away from the sport for a while, Sonny?
I don't want to go down that road. I have too much respect for Michael, but it's quite obvious from what you watched last night and what a lot of people have known for a long time. He did, like as he said it, the competitiveness of gambling. That's how Michael described it. That's what it was. That's what people accepted, and that's what it is. I have no idea. I mean, in fact, on that 12-hour journey or 10-hour journey, we ended up, we were playing for $100 a game. If I'd have lost more than 10, we had a limit. I can only lose $1,000. We're going to quit. And we went all the way, only went to the bathroom and had dinner. We had rules on that flight. We landed in Chicago O'Hare Airport. I won the last hand. I beat Michael by one game. He gave me the Black Ace of Spades and his signature. Anybody listening to know Michael, that's the biggest honor you can get. He either loves you or despises you, but he played you and somebody won or lost. I got thing. So I don't want to go into that, and it's not my place to do that.
Are you still friends, Sonny?
I don't know if we. I don't think we can be really. I respect the hell of him. He allowed me to have a life, you know, by him. But I like to think I did other things, and I would have still done other things. But there's no question I'm linked to Michael. It was Michael's choice, not mine, and I don't believe it was Michael's. I believe it was Phil Knight's personally. But I can't get into that. I mean, there's no animus at all. I mean, Juanita and I stayed with the kids. I mean, I stayed in the house. I mean, there's nothing out there to talk about other than what's being said on the thing here and what's being said in here. The only thing I know, anyone that's foolish enough to think that I didn't, you know, without me, he doesn't sign. We don't go through all those, you know, those romantic stories about Adidas and no one was paying him. That doesn't happen. There's no Air Jordan. Just I know we're on a time limit, you guys.
No, you're okay. You're okay. Keep going.
Okay. Let me tell you one thing. If Nike doesn't sign him, Michael's still the greatest, arguably, basketball player in the world. Michael's still going to be All-Pro for 9,000 years in a row. Michael's going to be I'll tell you what he is going to be. He's not going to be on Mount Everest. He's on Mount Everest because of Air Jordan. Why? 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 You guys know why. Because he's iconic in the shoe. The shoe is the historic. Michael's shoe will go down like the golden chalice, the sword in the, you know, in England, in the stone, pour it out. That's what Air Jordan, it's the shoe, ladies and gentlemen, just like Spike said. It's got to be the shoes. That's why Michael, no other company, even they didn't even want to separate him from the other guys that they had, like Magic and Julius and all these guys. I mean, let's be honest here, ladies and gentlemen. Air Jordan, David Falk did come up with the Jordan part. That's his last name. Air come because if anyone listening to this is as old as me, they understand that Nike had a shoe in the 80s. It was Air. It was Air and a base. Rob Strasser said, you know, we're going to go this route. And Rob Strasser talked about what they were going to do. The Jumpman, one of the most iconic posters in the history of life was the Jumpman, right? I mean, mm-hmm. So it fit. And David did say Air Jordan. Well, that was, the air was given to him.
Sonny,
that's what the Nike shoe was.
Sonny Vaccaro joining us, Trafford man, Nike executive, brings Jordan in, creates the Air Jordan brand, as you're hearing. That was not in the documentary last night, and the hour was about, the first hour was about the Jordan brand. Sonny, what does it make you think about the documentary itself? Is this an objective documentary? Is this the way Jordan wants the story to get out? It's his viewpoint. Does it make you question the authenticity or the veracity of the documentary? What are people watching, in effect, in your opinion?
Well, the year 98, and what young Thompson did at that time, one of the famous, Michael Thompson's family with Clay and, the whole bit.
Yep.
He did it. That is authentic. They were going to do it about the last season, the last dance, and then they put it on hold because Michael left the world and didn't want it shown. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury here, and you're the jury listening to the show, okay, do you really believe that Michael would let anything out that he doesn't want? That's when you are a Michael Jordan in the world. You have the last say in anything that you do. The NBA didn't have the last say. Michael has the, it was his, it was the last dance with Michael. It wasn't the last dance with Scotty.
Sonny, do you think there could ever be another Michael Jordan? And not in terms of on the basketball court, because you could have a LeBron James, Michael Jordan debate all you want, and people do. But in terms of just the sheer global scale of what he was and is as a star, as a brand, as an icon, do you think that's even possible anymore?
No, and you can put Zion, the latest guy, and Kobe, God bless Kobe, and LeBron, whoever you want, you can put them all together. There's only one picture on this Mount Everest. It's Michael Jordan. There can never be, because the time was right. No one ever did anything. That's what I keep. That's what they can't. They can't erase history here. And since I was with him every step of the way at every place he ever went, it's logical that I was pretty close to Michael. The reason is, it's the shoe. $2 trillion. He's partners. He's partners with the people that hired him. I mean, my God Almighty. I mean, that's why there can't ever be, and there's not enough space in the world now for that to happen. Remember, Converse was the iconic shoe. They had the world by the rear end. Mm-hmm. Adidas was a fashion shoe. Track and field guys wore Adidas shoes. No one else did, and their sweatsuits were beautiful because they were, you know, leather or whatever they were. I'm saying to you, no, no. The universe, there's just room for one. There's just room for one. That's it. Only one Mona Lisa, that's all. No one else can paint her. Just one. Sistine Chapel. All the great artwork, this is a work of art. Air Jordan is a work of art that will live for years and hundreds of millions of years.
Sonny Vaccaro joining us. Last couple of minutes with you, Sonny, here before we let you run, and thank you for your time today. We know your brother well because of what he did for the launching the sports book at the casino here. Obviously, if you know a little bit more about him, his presence in Las Vegas, very well known. Do people associate you with Jordan's gambling? Like when people look back on his life in the NBA and his time, when everything he did with his time, his leisure time, did people think that you influenced him in that way or no?
In gambling?
Yeah, yeah.
I was never with Michael when he was in Vegas, and we spent a lot of time together when he shot dice or played. I never saw Michael play golf in my life. No, the only time I ever gambled was on that airplane from Paris to thing. No. My brother was with, you know, celebrated Michael's birthday in Las Vegas at Steve Wynn's the Mirage Hotel. But no, and, you know, Chunch would only have seen him during his time. Michael's gambling, as other people who gamble, sort of had their own likes and dislikes and whatever. But Michael's gambling, especially with golf, you know, that was always, I mean, all people like to bet, I guess, whatever it is. I used to love to gamble. My brother, you know, is probably the best known, you know, bookmaker in the country now. I mean, for a long time. But no, never once. I never walked to casinos with him when he did that. It was never my place. My place was, you know, my guy. Michael was my property when we did everything. Like I said, he was the first athlete to do Saturday Night Live. Cam and I were in the green room with him, and Jesse Jackson was outside hoping to get in the green room. That's my story. It doesn't hurt Jesse. I'm just telling you, we were inseparable when we traveled. I mean, there's no question. And to me, there's no question. And you know, I have no idea what makes people change. I have some idea. I've lived long enough. But what can I tell you?
So bottom line for you, and we'll let you go, is that if you never leave Nike, if you don't go work for Adidas and recruit Kobe Bryant and work for Reebok, if you had been at Nike the whole way through up until right now, you're absolutely in that documentary last night, bottom line, right?
Well, I only left Nike because he fired me, and I think what happened when he fired me, and I think that story can be told someday, is I was too close to Michael. I'm just being honest with you.
Interesting.
I was too close. And I'm not the kind of person in someone's eyes who would not they never understood me from the first day. Do you realize I worked there for like 11, 12 years? I'll bet you I wasn't there in those offices up in Eugene or, you know, Beaverton, wherever the heck it was, not Eugene, it was University. I bet you I wasn't there more than two or three times a month for two or three days. I didn't have an office there. I signed coaches when I was on the trail, giving them my check, and they would put money in. I wasn't a Nike employee. I did the biggest promotion in college basketball. I did under Hoops and Help with Comic Relief, Billy Crystal and Robin Williams and all those guys when that was big in the 90s, into Superdome with LSU and Notre Dame. Two non-Nike teams, we gave all the money to, you know, the homeless, Billy Crystal, all of them. No Nike school. That's who I am. And I am who I am. I wasn't a corporate guy. I was employed, and I did on my own. I did things, and that didn't sit. And I can understand that. I can understand that. But the way it was done, and the fact, if they would have gave me an alternative, and said, gentlemen, you're all intelligent. An audience, I know, you're Western Pennsylvania, you're street smart. Why in the hell would I have left a job to walk around with the king all my life? Come on, let's just be honest here. They fired me.
Yeah. The Soul Man, Sonny Vaccaro, got Michael Jordan to Nike. That wasn't in the documentary last night, but he was interviewed, and we'll see if he shows up in further episodes. The founder of the Dapper Dan Classic, he is Trafford's own, Sonny Vaccaro. Thank you so much, Sonny, for setting the record straight. We appreciate it.
Let's do it again, Pittsburgh.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.